Who cares? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Who cares? Well, all of us think that the rest of the world should care about us. All of us think that everybody in the world should be interested in our circumstances, our problems, our life, and that everybody in the world should be wanting to help us to succeed and help us to have a good life and have health and happiness and right action and peace and abundance and harmony and everything like that. Everybody else should help us. Everybody should help us, you know. That's what we think. Well, why? Why should anyone do anything in this world for us that we are not first willing to do for ourselves? Are you willing to do what is necessary to do to live, let's say, well, in a healthy body, okay? Are you willing to do what's necessary to do to live in a healthy body? Well, now, to live in a healthy body, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says to you, well, you take these pills, and you do your exercises, and you have a right mental attitude, and you eat good nutritious foods, and you live in a harmonious environment, and you surround yourself with harmonious people who are going to keep you on an upbeat attitude, and so forth. Hey, doctor, all of that's none of your business. Your business is just to give me pills to get me back in order. Oh, okay. Okay, bye-bye. Now, it is true that in today's conditions, we go into the doctor's office and the doctor says, okay, what's your history? You have a history of cancer, a history of diabetes, a history of these things, then that you're going to have that. And so now let's prepare yourself so you don't get it. Let's have you eat the right things and take the right vitamin because you're going to get it because it's in your history. It's in your vibration. And the doctor says, now, I want to have a rundown of every family problem that has ever existed in your life. And I want to know everything that's wrong with you so that we can make sure that you get it all, you know, that you get your fair share of all these things that the family has had. And now, it sounds like I'm very nasty and very naughty to the doctors. Well, no. No, not so. The thing is, what do you go to a doctor for? You go to a doctor for a solution. You don't go to a doctor to have him tell you all of your problems. You know them yourself. You don't go to a doctor to have him tell you of all your past history. You're the one who gives him the history, you know? Now, you go to a doctor for what reason?
To hear that I'm whole and perfect.
Now, Ellen says you go to a doctor to hear that you are whole and perfect. What doctor in his right mind would ever say to you that you're whole and perfect? None. Because then you won't come back. Then he won't have you as a client. He won't have you as a patient. And they want patients. That's part of their business. Now, I'm not against the doctors. I think doctors are just fine. We all utilize them from time to time. They're just wonderful. But are you willing to do what the doctor tells you to do? Are you willing just to go into your doctor's office and say, doctor, I want to live a happy, harmonious life. And the doctor says, oh, that's super. I do too. And how do I go about it? And the doctor says, well, I'm not really in that business. You go to your nutritionist, you go to your other people, and they will tell you these things. But I just work with your problems and give you a pill to get you well. Well, doctor, you're the one who's supposed to help me see my way out of the fog, see my way into the clear. You're the one who's supposed to give me advice. Well, if I wanted to do that, I'd become a psychiatrist or a psychologist, or I'd become a nutritionist. But the thing is, I'm not here for that. I'm here to have my book of illnesses and look at my book of illnesses and say, you've got that illness, And these are the pills in my book of pills of what you take to get rid of that illness or at least stop it from going so bad. And that's what I'm doing. I am not here to make you whole and well. Oh boy, the doctors are not going to like you very much. Well, facts are facts. No. All right, let's just say your name is Herb. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, Herb, you have an illness. And you say, okay, what do I do about it? Well, you take these pills, you lose weight, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing, and you're okay. Okay, so I don't do that. I don't lose weight. I take the pills, I do the simple thing, but to lose weight and stuff like that, that's tough, you know. And so the doctor says to me, if you don't lose weight, you're going to have this problem. Well, now, he's already telling me that I'm going to have that problem because I haven't lost weight. Now, I say to him, how can I lose weight? I say, I go on diets, I take a juice diet, I do these things, I lose weight by the tons, and then, zoop, it comes back on again, double, you know. And I mean, that's not a beneficial thing. Well, can't you help me? And he says, that's not my business. My business is just to tell you to lose it. My business is just to tell you that if you do, that these things will be beneficial to you. Well, thanks a lot, doctor. What should I do? Well, you know, Herb, I'm going to tell you a little secret here. Oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you will do what I tell you to do, you will be whole and perfect all of your life, and I'll never see you again. Wow! What is that, doctor? If you will just love yourself to pieces and keep your nose out of everybody else's business, you will have the healthiest spirit, mind, and body of any being on the face of the earth. That doesn't sound so hard. Oh, it's not hard. It's just the diligence. It's just the persistency that is necessary. Now, are you willing to give it the diligence and the persistency? And the answer is no. Because whenever you get upset, you blame everybody else. Whenever you get a problem, I have a right to be sorry for myself. I got a right to be sorry for myself. And you cry and you moan that you have a right to be sorry for yourself. Well, you're the one who brought it upon yourself. You're the one who brought it upon yourself. We have a prisoner who is in jail, and he's been there a long, long time. And he's had a very mad attitude, very mad attitude. And we worked with him on balancing himself out, and he balanced himself out. Then one day he was sitting in his cell, and he was on the toilet, and the guard came to the door and said, stand up. And he said, I'm on the toilet. He said, finish it and stand up. And he says, I will not. And the guard says, I told you to stand up. And he wouldn't stand up. And the guard says, if you don't stand up, I'm going to shoot you. Well, now the guard shouldn't do that sort of thing, but the guard was frustrated. He's a human being, and he's in a very frustrating business. And so he said, stand up. And the guy wouldn't stand up, so he shot the guy in the knee. Well, his leg was amputated and a few other things, and one thing led to another. And he was feeling sorry for himself. Oh, dear, oh, poor me, look what happened to me, look what happened. He did it to himself, and you can see it so clearly when I pointed it out to you. He did it to himself. He could have just stood up. But he felt sorry for himself. He felt that the world owed him a living. And now, how many people do you know who think the world owes a living, including yourself, you know? How many people do you think that everything is somebody else's fault and not theirs? Well, this prisoner thought that way. Well, I worked with the prisoner very seriously and got him on a proper mental balance, and he did just fine. He was coming up roses. And then a few things that he was trying to do with the court and so forth didn't go successful. And so, boing, he took a nosedive, feeling sorry for himself again. I said, don't do that, don't do that, don't feel sorry for yourself. That's what did it last time. It will work. Be positive, be positive, be positive. We started being positive, and everything started going great. Everything started going great. And then it came to the final moment. And he says, I'm going to show you that, you know, I'm a good guy and that I'm wonderful and I deserve this, I deserve this, and I deserve this. And then he went in with that attitude. And then the people who were checking on him, the commission who was approving or disapproving him, the commissioner felt that vibration so powerful of, I'm going to show you, that the commissioner said, I don't want anything to do with this person. He is not rehabilitated. I don't want to send him back to society. He would be a detriment to society. And case closed. And you can't do that to me. You can't do that to me. And he did it to himself. He went in there with this belligerent attitude. He went in there. And now, look at here. Here you have perfect illustration. It's not easy to be in prison. It's not easy to have these problems. It's not easy to do these things. But only a master comes through like an angel. And he could have been an angel because he was doing so beautifully. He was doing so beautifully. But he had moments when he felt sorry for himself. Look at me, I'm on crutches. Look at me, I got an extra leg that's fastened on here. Not my own, you know. Look at me, oh my, poor me, poor me. Well now, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's digging his grave. And he'll climb in shortly. Now, does he want to do that? Well, apparently. Are we going to help him do that? If we talk like I'm talking right now, yes. But if we're talking as I talk to him, as I write letters to him, and as I speak to him on the phone, I say, hey, you're fantastic. You've done great things. Now, just keep your positive mental attitude. Just keep yourself aware. You're a good guy. You're worthwhile. You're a beautiful being. And other people who are human, like my staff, they have a tendency to look at people like this and say, he's doing it to himself. He's a rotten apple. He's a terrible person. And, of course, the minute you do that, you put yourself out of the business. You're not a practitioner. You're not a member of the human race. Because a member of the human race, sometimes the members of the human race are so sensitive, they don't even want to step on an ant. Now, when's the last time you didn't want to step on an ant? Really? Really? When's the last time you didn't want to step on an ant? Oh, the Hindus are so great because they don't like to step on ants, they don't like to breathe a bug, or they don't like... That's overkill. The natural rhythm of life is for the ebb and flow of all things, life and death coming and going. But while we are living, we want to live the most beautiful, fulfilled, dynamic, wonderful life possible. We should go to our doctors for solutions to our problems, not to the escalation of our problems in our world. By feeling sorry for ourselves or by reiterating, regurgitating our past. We want to live in the...
now.
Right this moment now. And we cannot live in the now if we're going to live in the past. So, my prisoner friend, and I shouldn't call him a prisoner, but my friend who is in prison, he is a beautiful being. He is whole and perfect. He is a very thoughtful, loving, gentle person. Herb, but you've told us he's not really all that. Well, I told you the illusions. Now, if I allow myself to look at him and believe those illusions are his reality, then they are my reality. And I cannot afford to have any illusions be my reality that I do not choose to experience in my life. And you, just like I have to keep my big nose out of other people's business, you have to keep your big nose out of other people, because every time you have your nose in somebody else's business, then that's who you are. If you are thinking, oh, people call to the healing ministry, and I work with them every week, every month, every year, year in, year out, I have the list of people who want to have healing treatments from other churches and other organizations in our own, every one of our students and every one of our people, every night, And when I went to bed in the Montage de Mille de Meditation, when I lived there, I had a piece of plastic over my bed. I had a piece of sheet of plastic, and on it I had sheets of names. I had the names of all of my students. I had the names of all of my relatives and all of my family and all of my loved ones. I had the names of everybody who asked for treatment. And so I would lay there in bed, and I would look at this sheet, the light shining through from the top. I could read the words, and I would treat for each person individually, not y'all, y'all whole perfect, you know, individually, every single night, because I was head of my worldwide healing ministry. I was head of my healing treatment work. I treated, and all of my students were fantastic, glorious, wonderful. When new ones would come at it on, and they would get healed, and they wouldn't even tell me. And I don't care. I blessed them anyhow. I didn't care whether they didn't need it anymore, because we're always ready for a little more blessing, aren't we? And so I did this for years and years and years and years and years, and it was up over my bed. And a lot of times people would come, and they'd say, Herb, I want to sleep with you. I want to do this here, and I want to do that. I said, no, I'm busy. I have my other world to be in. And I had to just do that. And so the only way I could ensure that I could sleep alone, because everybody wanted to sleep with me, the only way I could ensure of sleeping alone is had an army cot, a single bed army cot. And I would lay on that single bed army cot. There wasn't even room for the dogs and cats. But I would lay on there and look at my treatment list. And I did that for years. And then the list grew and grew and grew and grew. And pretty soon I had to not do it while I was laying down. I had to do it in my booklet. And I did it. And I had it in all of my gists. In all of my gists, I listed all of these people, all their names from everywhere. And I was just starting out. And it was growing and growing. And people, their lives were changing. Their lives were being more beautiful and more uplifting. And I didn't know their problems. I didn't know that she had cancer and he had bad relationships and this and that. I didn't know any of that. All I knew is that they wanted treatment for wholeness and perfection in their life. And I treated them for wholeness and perfection. I didn't need to know that they had a problem, and I certainly didn't need to know what the problem was. And a lot of people asked me for treatment who didn't even have problems. And how smart they were. Yeah. How smart they were. And I went to many people's homes because they called me and they asked me to come and treat for them. And as I treated for them, they said, yeah, but I love you, love you. I said, well, look, if you want to die, you can do that. That's okay. It's your choice to live or die. You can live right now and live a beautiful life because you've already got a good start on it. As I tell people who have a husband and wife, you know, and they want to get a divorce, and I say, look, you've already broken them in, you know. Now, break yourself in to realize that you've got the best, and pretty soon you'll find that you do got the best. And they're wonderful. And the relationships changed in every one of the cases that specifically I worked with them in that area. And it's beautiful. But do you care? Do you care? Pray for me. I've got this problem. Pray for me. Oh, go jump in the lake. Pray for me. Obviously, I need your attention. Whatever it may be, I don't need to know it. If I filled my mind with all the garbage that the newspapers and the television and the world has to spew out, I would be no good to anybody. Jesus had a phrase for that, and I don't think any church teaches it, but it's an interesting phrase. He said, hey, I'm walking the high road, you know. I'm walking the high road. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow my path. And my path is the road of wholeness and perfection and right action, peace and truth. What is that to thee? The rest of the world, let them be. Even your own life, let it be. Even your own family, with all their problems and unhappiness, let it be. Just follow me. And when you follow the Master, what happens? You follow the divine within yourself, and you listen to all that is good and beautiful. Whatsoever things are of good report, you know? Think on these things. Be a beautiful issue in this world. Do you know, I can look out here across the grounds of the Absolute Monastery, and as I do, I see some trees going up straight, tall, beautiful, some twisting around, some branches are dead, some branches are alive, some branches are turning yellow where the tree is going to lose those branches, and others are green and gorgeous, but each one is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Each one is glorious. It's part of the whole panorama, the whole symphony of our Absolute Monastery here. And I have the sprinkler going in front of the window here at the dining room table. And the sprinkler is shooting the water up into the air, 25 feet. And it's really quite lovely and spraying in a big circle. And here I am looking out upon a beautiful rainy day that's exactly where I want it to be, you know? And then when I leave the house to go back to the Hermitage, I'll slide past the sprinkler and turn it off, and then I'll go back to the Hermitage. And I will go back and enjoy my wonderful place there with all of its lovely trees. And last night, I had a symphony that put me to sleep. It was so marvelous. We live just a mile from the Mexican border, and we have lots of international travelers going near our property. Well, lately they were having some difficulties at the border, and they were complaining about things, and it's in their consciousness. And so they're creating all sorts of unhappiness coming through the border. And so last night, at about 10:30 until about midnight, they had a concert for me. I laid in my bed, and I looked out the window, and I could see the stars, and I could see the helicopter lights. And the helicopters were flying all over my backyard. And Rex was out there barking at them, "Come on down, play, guys, come on down, play," you know. And not, "Don't stay up there in the sky." And so they flew around. They had their spotlights on. They were looking around, and they were looking. My goodness sake, anybody in their right mind would duck under a bush and not be seen, you know, and they wouldn't even know they were there. And, I mean, if you're going to be, they should learn from the American Indians how to be stalkers, you know, how to go out and find their prey. But no, they don't do that. They go out in a silly, interesting way. They don't really want to catch them. And it's true, they don't. They really don't want to catch them. And from our experiences with them, we found that they really don't. But it's wonderful. As I told you one time, the Border Patrol was here. We were talking to them. And then we said, "Hey, look over there. There's about a dozen international travelers walking across the road." "Oh, darn," the Border Patrol man said. And I thought to myself, yes, I kind of thought that was your attitude. And that's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. So, my friends, are you ready for living a life of harmony, happiness, peace, joy, and goodness? If you want to live a life of harmony, happiness, peace, joy, and goodness, then think upon those things. If you want to live any other kind of life, then think upon that. Any kind of newspapers. We even watch Bewitched, which is supposed to be a humorous, happy thing. And even in Bewitched, they have some dumb stuff. And in other words, they have Darren, her husband, being an absolute idiot. You know, an absolute idiot. Just totally disrespectful to her mother. And disrespectful. And her mother is a disrespectful person, but he shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to teach his children to be good human beings, and yet he's not acting like one himself. And, of course, they're trying to teach people that the witches and people like that are good people, and then they're acting in a not good way. And you cannot play these two games at once and expect to get any kind of result. Now, that's just Bewitched. And it's a charming show. It's a charming, lot of interesting ideas in it. But the thing is, hey, all these things, because what is it that makes it unworthy of being watched? It's one word. What is it that makes it unworthy of being watched? Now, you're going to say, "I'm a very naughty person for saying this word." But what makes it a very unworthy reason for being watched is that it is trying to be human. If it were being divine, it would be the most wonderful, noble, the idealist human things to do, and we would think, that's good. That's good. What would you have thought if Jesus had condemned other people? What would you have thought if Jesus had cursed other people? What would you think if Jesus had said, die, you dog, you're mean to me? What would you think if he had said something like that? You'd say, that's not divine. And what would you think of yourself when you see some bad person doing something and you say, stop him, kill him, you know? That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you able to be divine? Well, you see, you're not training yourself in the school of the divine. You're training yourself in the school of the human. And the human says, whatever is my choice, my highest good, my determination, that's what it is. Not what is the best, what is my choice. Now, what is the best? The best is all is in divine order. The best is peace. The best is love, unconditional love. Do you know that if you could live a life with just a teensy, teensy, weensy little bit of unconditional love, you'd be the happiest being in the world? Well, I don't know how teensy my bit is, but I'm living a teensy, weensy little bit of it. I love to live it all, and I'm working on it. And I'm the happiest guy in the world. Now, you, get your nose out of other people's business and out of your own business. Stop trying to be human. God. Yeah. Stop trying to be human and be divine. Now, can you fault me for saying be divine?
Mm-mm.
Not very well.
Mm.
But do you be divine in all that you do? Well, think about it. Because that's the way I see you. And with unconditional love, I don't judge anybody, anything, anywhere, for any purpose. I just enjoy everything. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.